Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Could I get some water? Is it there? Oh. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 15, text number 5. Is that right? Vayam cha tvam cha ye cheme tuya kalyaha chara achara janma mrityo yata paschat prak na evam aduna api bho vayam cha tvam cha ye che me tuya kayas chara chara janma mrityor yata paschat prana evam aduna api bho Vayam cha tvam cha ye che me Tuya kalyash chara chara Janma mrityor yata pascha Prana naiva maduna pi Bo How does this go on? Prana naiva mudana pibo Matajis. Oh, I don't need that, sorry. Tuya kalyas chara chara Janma mrityor yata paschat Prana naiva mudana pibo Vayam We, the great sages and the ministers, and adherents of the king, cha an twam you, cha also, ye hu, cha also, ime these, tuya kalya, assembled at the same time. Chara achara. Moving and not moving. Janma, birth. Mrityo, and death. Yata, just as. Paschat, after. Prak, before. Na, not. Evam, thus, adhuna, at present, api, although, bho, O King. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King, both you and us, your advisors, wives and ministers, as well as everything moving and not moving throughout the entire cosmos at this time, are in a temporary situation. Before our birth, the situation did not exist, and after our death, it will exist no longer. Therefore, our situation is now temporary, although it is not false. Please repeat. O King, both you and us, your advisors, wives, and ministers, as well as everything, moving and not moving, throughout the entire cosmos, at this time, are in a temporary situation. Before our birth, the situation did not exist. And after our death, it will exist no longer. Therefore, our situation is now temporary. Although it is not false. Srila Prabhupada's purport, the Mayavadi philosophers say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. Brahman, the living being, is factual, but his present bodily situation is false. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, however, the present situation is not false, but temporary. It is like a dream. A dream does not exist before one falls asleep, nor does it continue after one awakens. The period for dreaming exists only between these two, and therefore it is false in the sense that it is impermanent. Similarly, the entire material creation, including our own creation and those of others, is impermanent. We do not lament for the situation in a dream, before the dream takes place, or after it is over. So during the dream, or during a dream-like situation, one should not accept it as factual and lament about it. This is real knowledge. So the text again. Avayam cha tvam cha ye che me tulya kalyas chara chara jama mrityor yata paschat pranan prang prang maiva adunapibo. O King, both you and us, your advisors, wives, and ministers, as well as everything moving and not moving throughout the entire cosmos at this time, are in a temporary situation. Therefore, before our birth, this situation did not exist, and after our death, it will exist no longer. Therefore, our situation is now temporary, although it is not false. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhuta Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyade Satarne. Srila Prabhupada makes a statement in this verse that although everything here in this material cosmic creation is changing constantly, as we all have very practical experience of that, still, it is not false. Because as Krishna is not false, so his energy is not false. But its forms that it's taking presently are temporary. Therefore, it can say that the forms are like a dream, in the same sense that at night we're dreaming of some particular situation, and when we wake up, that situation disappears. But still we're there. It is not that we go to sleep at night, we have a dream, and we wake up, we're a different person. We're still there. The dream has ended, though. Similarly, this existence, this present existence, is like a dream. But because we think this is real, therefore we take it very seriously. If at night we're dreaming that we won the lottery and we made $25 million, we may become very excited during the dream. And then I may buy my dream house, I may marry my dream wife, and I may get my dream children, have my dream fame. But when I wake up, then I realize it was just a dream. Although I seem to have gained many different things during the dream, when I wake up, most people don't lament. Oh, I had so much in my dream. My life was finally a success. And now I've awoken, and now everything is lost. Let me go back to sleep and see if I can get everything back again. No, we realize it was just a dream. Therefore, whatever we seem to have gained, we didn't really gain. And whatever we've lost when we woke up, we didn't really lose because we had nothing to begin with before the dream. And therefore, there was nothing to lose when we woke up. Similarly, only due to illusion do we take this temporary situation very seriously. Although it's amazing, according to Yudhisthira Maharaj, when he was asked, what is the most amazing thing in this world? They have their seven wonders of the world or whatever they have. But actually the most amazing thing, Yudhisthira Maharaj correctly answered, otherwise he would have been in great trouble. He answered, Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gacchanti yamalayam, sheshastavar ichchanti, kimascharyam tatparam. The most amazing thing is that at every moment we're seeing that so many living entities are dying. Just like, I guess you've heard that Kirtananda Swami, he left his body. Was that announced? No. But anyhow. So, not that he left his body and he's unfortunate and we're all going to stay here forever. No, he left his body and we're all about to leave our body. Maybe someone's going to leave their body in a minute of Brahma and others half a minute. 30 seconds of Brahma is equal to our 30 years of our life. A minute is equal to 60 years. So just imagine a minute of, if someone told you, you're going to live for another minute, how would you feel? Well, we're all going to live for maybe another minute or two. A Brahma. Still, the most amazing thing is that although we're seeing so many living entities are coming and going, we're convinced that we're going to stay here forever, that this is the place to develop economically, socially, politically, culturally, whatever. But after leaving this body, then what do we take with us? The only thing we take with us is the reactions to our activities. Either if we perform devotional activities, then we get an opportunity to perform more devotional service, either in the spiritual world or in some other place in this world. Or if we were not in devotional service, we simply get another temporary body to struggle, karshati. According to the conception of life that we developed in this lifetime, sharira yadavapnoti yatschap yukramati shraha rihivaitani samyati vayur ghanda ivashayat. The living entity, he carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, just like air is carrying aroma. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Air is pure. Air is always neutral. But when air passes over a rose garden, then it appears to smell like roses, and everyone appreciates roses. And if it passes through garbage, then it smells very foul, and everyone feels very disturbed. But air is always the same, only due to association. Sometimes it appears to be good, sometimes it appears to be bad, and sometimes it appears to be a combination. Similarly, the soul is always neutral to the material energy, but due to contact with the modes, by his desiring different things, he gets different material bodies, or we should say, according to his conception of life, then he has certain desires. Desires are naturally arising within the mind, due to our past activities, they appear automatically. And according to our conception of life, we're accepting some of those desires and rejecting other of those desires. And the result is we're developing a certain, karma. And according to that karma, then we get another body. Now, what desires we're accepting, what desires we're rejecting, that will be determined by what we're hearing. Nowadays, people are simply hearing, basically speaking, they're hearing sports on the radio, the television, that the whole world is just a big, big arena, like the gladiators. You watch the football players knock into each other, try and kill each other, and that's life. Knocking into someone else and trying to run them over. And your team gets the ball on the other side, and that's victory. Or you take a stick and you hit a little ball, and if it gets into the hole, then your life is perfect. So this is the conception of life people are developing. Make money, work like a dog, eat like a hog, sleep like a bear, and have sex like a monkey or a pigeon. You can choose. So this is what people are hearing about, that this is glory, this is the goal of life, this is how to make your life perfect, or at least as close to perfection as possible. And therefore, as soon as the senses demand something, then you should satisfy it. If your tongue wants to eat something, then automatically you go on the internet and you call for the pizza guy to jump on his motorcycle and dash through all the traffic and reach you within 20 minutes or less, and then you get the pizza. And then life is good. Until another half an hour or 2 hours go by, and then it's something else. So this is the conception of life. On the other hand, if we hear that life is not meant to just gratify the senses, life is meant to utilize the senses in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then this dreamlike state gradually dissipates. Because that's actually our engagement. We are souls, and the engagement of the soul is to love Krishna. He has no other real engagement. Loving this material temporary body, we do not get reciprocation. Well, we do get reciprocation. We get another body to torture us. We can love the body all we want. We can take care of the body all we want. But still the body has no appreciation because the body is dead. The body can't reciprocate our love. All it can do is give us another body, or kick us out of this body, and material nature will give us another body. So it's hopeless. Another hopeless class. It's hopeless. All these love affairs, all this romance, it is just a waste of time. Shrama evahi kevalam. And it's useless, because no matter how much we develop our loving feelings towards someone, they die or we die, and it's all over. And as a reaction, we may get to meet them again, but maybe as rabbits in some hole somewhere. Or two cockroaches falling in love again. It's not as romantic as it was before. We meet by the toilet and we enjoy romance. So that's a dream, and this is a dream, and there's so many different dreams, but ultimately it comes down, it's a real nightmare. We may dream about some romance or happiness or somewhere, but actually it's just a different varieties of nightmares. But here are the opportunity to wake up means to take shelter of Krishna. Balasyaneha sharanam pitaro nishingha. Nartasya chagadam udanvata majitao now, taptasya tat pravitir anashestas tvadvido tanubritam tat upikshananam. We may try to protect this body, or others may try and protect our body. Parents may try and protect their children. The doctor may try and give good medicine. The boat may try to make it across the ocean. But ultimately, it all may fail, and we're not protected by any of these things. And even if they all were successful temporarily, ultimately, something will get us. Even Howard Hughes, with his billions of dollars, was so afraid that he was going to lose, he was going to die. Because after all, if he died, what would happen to his billions of dollars? He would lose billions of dollars. If we lose, say we have $1,000 and we're walking along and there's a hole in our pocket and we lose it. That happens sometimes. Then we become very disturbed. Oh, I lost $1,000. We go back to the street. I remember one time I was in Australia and I didn't want to buy a pair of shoes, but I needed them for book distribution. So I went in there and I spent, I think, over $100 on a pair of shoes. And I was thinking, oh, maybe I'm wasting Krishna's money. Maybe I shouldn't get it. And then I was walking on the street. And $200 were just floating down the street on the gutter. I mean, it doesn't happen every day. And I picked it up, and it came right towards me, and I picked it up, and I thought, well, maybe Krishna is trying to tell me something. So that's a positive example. But say we lost $200 or $1,000, we would be lamenting. But at the time of death, if you had $15 billion, you'd feel like you were losing quite a lot. What to speak of your house, your friends, your relatives, your dog, all these different things, and your dear body. Everything is lost at the time of leaving this body, and we have to accept another body. And there is no way of getting around it. No doctor, no boat. No amount of money can actually save us, because ultimately, mrityu sara haras chaham, ultimately death takes everything away. But if we take shelter of Krishna and we wake up, then we won't be disturbed. Just like when one wakes up from a dream, he's not disturbed by the dream anymore. So if we wake up in this lifetime, that's the only remedy for getting free from our lamentation and our hankering for some temporary material circumstance. So that waking up means we have to feel dependent upon Krishna. If we have any other shelter in our mind, that means we're asleep. If we're thinking some other shelter will ultimately protect me, that means we're in ignorance. Not that we don't take some precaution, but we know that these precautions are to protect this temporary body so it can be engaged in the eternal service of Krishna. Like Sanatana Goswami, he wanted to commit suicide, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbade him because he had plans to utilize Sanatana Goswami's body in his devotional service. Similarly, we look after the body, just like the gopis. They dress themselves nicely, they bathe themselves, they decorate themselves, all for Krishna's pleasure. So we look after Krishna's possessions, we look after Krishna's body in order to serve Krishna better. But not with the idea that somehow or another we're going to make progress and become somewhat perfect in this lifetime. This is all based upon illusion. Janma Aishvarya Shruta Shribira Edamanak Madak Puman. Anyone who thinks that by developing my material circumstances, by getting wealth, getting more beautiful, by becoming more materially educated, I'm making progress, then they're crazy. There is no progress in that way. It is all progress in a dream. And at the end of the dream, we're back to zero again, or less than zero if we didn't do do the right thing. But if we take shelter of Krishna, we feel, develop that feeling that I have no other shelter than Krishna, than Krishna's holy name, Krishna's devotees, the deities. If we somehow or another learn to take shelter of Krishna, then that's real shelter. And when we wake up, then our life becomes actually perfect, perfectly full of bliss and awareness. We understand everything as it actually is, not as we're imagining it to be in a dream. That's real knowledge. It's there in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Everything else is such a fanciful imagination caused by our sleeping condition under the illusory energy. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. You were talking a bit about dreams and how when we come out of the dream, we realize it's not real. Can you say something about a dream a devotee may have about Krishna or the spiritual master in comparison?
Well, that's nice. If we remember Krishna in devotion, or the spiritual master in devotion, that's part of devotional service. But just dreaming about Krishna or even the spiritual master depends upon the mood of devotion in that dream. We're right now, when we wake up from the dream, we're still dreaming. We're still trying to remember Krishna in this dreamlike state that we're presently in. So if we dream of Krishna at night or the spiritual master, that's nice. That's also devotional service. And if we think of Krishna now and the spiritual master and we serve them, that's even a better opportunity when we're awake. They're both devotional service.
So is that dream a reality or is it an illusion?
No, it's as much as reality. It is reality. Krishna is reality. When we think about Krishna, that's real. But in proportion to our devotional feelings. As much as we're dreaming, if we dream about Krishna in a relationship to the previous acharyas, to their instructions, and it's in the mood of service without any materialistic desires, then that's part of devotional service, pure devotional service. But not that we become overwhelmed that I've become a pure devotee because I dreamt of Krishna last night, or I thought of the spiritual master. Better to try and think about them when we're awake also, not just in our dreams.
There's a very nice conversation between Srila Prabhupada and disciple, and disciple was commenting that, Srila Prabhupada, I was dreaming of you. And what is the case in that circumstance? And Prabhupada responded by saying that when the disciple dreams of the spiritual master is actually there.
Yeah, so... He may be there, but we should be in devotional consciousness when he's there. Prabhupada is also here in the form of his deity. But where is our consciousness sometimes? We don't recognize him. And even one who is here, it's not that everyone was in his presence was completely devotional. So we have to practice not only to think about Krishna, but to think of him with devotion and a service attitude. That's the important thing. We probably can't do much for Krishna in our dream. You may distribute, 100 books in your dream, but you won't get any book points on the Sankirtan newsletter. So better to take advantage while we're awake and try and do some service. And then when we dream about Krishna at night, if it's with devotion, following the instructions of the spiritual master, even if we distribute 100 books, then we'll get some credit for that, at least with Krishna. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very nice class. The absolute truth with just the right touch of humor. I've known you for some time, and I am having a hard time seeing you, picturing you buying $100 shoes.
Well, that's not very much.
When was that? Seriously.
That was some years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Sneakers. Of course, it was Australian dollars. Australian dollars were not. Now Australian dollars are worth as much as American dollars, but back then it was somewhat of a difference. $80 worth of shoes, really. Yes. But if you're going to go, my experience in book distribution is you better buy good shoes, as good as possible.
Respect to dreams, devotees who practice Krishna consciousness, sometimes some of them, they also have dreams that may appear to be contradictory. And since we said that dreaming with the spiritual master is like spiritual, and some of them, sometimes they might have some dreams that they appear completely contradictory. And
Because we're crazy. What can we expect from dreams? This whole thing of people don't want to do any service while they're awake. They're trying to do service when they're asleep. No, Prabhupada said at night, during the day you see gold, and at night, and during the day you see a mountain, and at night you dream of a golden mountain. There's no golden mountain. It's just you're combining different thoughts and you're making them into something different during a dream. Therefore, only a very advanced devotee can actually be perfectly in Krishna consciousness in their dream. First, we should try to become Krishna conscious while we're awake. It's more difficult when we're dreaming. And if somehow or another we remember Krishna during a dream or the spiritual master during a dream, that's very nice, but we shouldn't get too excited about it. We have a hard enough time remaining conscious of Krishna now. Yes. I mean, there's really no difference between a daydream and a night dream. They're both just imaginations.
Thank you for sharing your knowledge and showing us teaching through your intelligence, and blessing Srila Prabhupada's devotees with your gifts of wisdom, Swamiji. My question is, how do you explain the process of cultivating knowledge? Is it some kind of seed that we plant into
Chaitasya sarva karmani? Oh, I see. Chaito darpanam arjanam bhavahadira nirvapanam. Actually, everyone has knowledge. When we're free from the modes of material nature, then our real knowledge awakens, that we're eternal servants of Krishna. But now we're in ignorance, avidya. And due to avidya, we've acquired a false ego. And due to that false ego, we're being battered by desire and hate. And due to that, we're always in anxiety and fearful about the future. So we get free from our ignorance by engaging our senses, mind, and intelligence in Krishna's service, desiring to please Krishna. Then the result is that gradually avidya will go away. In the absence of avidya, then there is real awareness awakens again. So real knowledge means that get free from our misconceptions by engaging ourselves in Krishna's service with devotion. And anyone can do it, doesn't matter who we are. In any circumstance, if we desire to please Krishna, then under the guidance of his representatives, we can do that. So I think one more question. Okay. Prem Sankirtan.
Maharaj, thank you for a nice class. Can you give me some practical tips, you know, how to eat less prasadam? And I want to cut my sleep to eat, to don't
eat
sleep so much.
Eat less prasadam. Why do you want to eat less? Are you getting too fat?
No, sometimes I sleep too much.
What's that?
I sleep too much sometimes. So can you give me some hint, encouragement?
Well, don't eat too much at night. I don't. How do you less? Chant Hare Krishna more? Well, the best thing to do to eat less is chew the food more. Usually we don't chew the food, therefore we're not satisfied. But if you spend time chewing, then eating prasadam, at worst, you'll get bored. You'll think, I can't do this anymore. My jaw is hurt. So if you chew the food, not only you'll taste the food, but you'll exercise your jaws. And eventually they'll get tired and you won't be able to eat anymore. Otherwise, we're just usually swallowing the food. along with a lot of air. Therefore, we're always hungry. Thank you very much. Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.